If you're listening to this, then you likely already know that being an independent musician can be a lonely road. And maybe your friends and your family just don't fully understand why you do what you do or why you invest so much time, energy, and money towards achieving your music goals. And especially early on, it can be hard to find people who really understand what you're trying to accomplish and how to make it happen. So that's where Modern Musician comes in. My name is Michael Walker, and you know, I can understand and relate to that feeling. I've been there myself, and so has our team of independent artists. And the truth is that basically everything good in my life has been the result of music. It's the reason I met my wife. It's why I have my three kids. It's how I met my best friends. And now with Modern Musician, we've seen so many talented artists who started out with a dream, with a passion, but without really a fan base, without a business, and be able to take that and turn it into a sustainable full-time career and be able to impact hundreds of thousands, even millions of fans with their music. And we've had thousands of messages from artists who've told us that we've helped change their lives forever. And it just gets even more exciting, fulfilling when you're surrounded by a community of other people who get it and who share their success and their knowledge with each other openly. And so if you are feeling called to make your music a full-time career and to be able to reach more people with your music, then I want to invite you to join our community so that we can support your growth and help lift you up as you pursue your musical dreams. You'll be able to interact in a community with other high-level artists, coaches, and industry professionals, as well as be able to participate in our daily live podcasts, meet these amazing guests, and get access to completely free training. If you'd like to join our family of artists who truly care about your success, then click on the link in the show notes and sign up now.
You know, being on, I working from everything from kind of startup spirits brands to their sale to like global brands like Patron, Campari, the Macallan, what I was finding was a complete disconnect in how people in the music industry operate with people who are outside of the music industry.
Welcome to the Modern Musician Podcast, where each week I help you turn your passion for making music into a profitable career. This is all about you discovering and expressing who you really are so that you can build a loyal fan base that truly resonates with you and with your music. You can impact more people with your artwork. I'm your host, Michael Walker, and let's get into it. All right, I'm excited to be here today with my new friend, Joe Gallo. Joe is the founder of Catch Buzz, which is a media lifestyle agency that has gotten over 1,000 placements in outlets like the New York Times, Forbes, and Billboard. And I'm excited to have him on the podcast today to talk a little bit about media and creating buzz and branding, you know, with your music and how to, you know, be able to build some of these relationships with these outlets. And Joe's funny. It's a little bit like back behind the scenes that was happening before this podcast. Realize the importance of double checking that AI doesn't hallucinate on different things. Like Joe, apparently you were like the VP of Columbia Records and working with like Harry Styles, and a little bit of a difference. That was a hallucination completely. But also, I think it's an interesting, like maybe this happened for a reason so that we could talk a little bit about AI and the effect of AI as it relates to publications and getting, you know, kind of media placements and whatnot. So Joe, really appreciate you taking the time to be on the podcast today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So maybe you could share a little bit about your story about how you started Catch Buzz. And since we're getting this from you directly, we'll know that this is real. This isn't like fabricated by AI.
This is not AI. This is not AI.
As of yesterday, the new Sora came out and some of those videos look pretty convincing. So it's harder and harder to tell these days.
We'll see. My name is Joe Gallo. I'm the founder of a media integrated marketing brand building agency called Catch Buzz. We do everything from artist management, brand partnerships, media relations, thought leadership. We're basically an all-in-one shop. We work at the intersection of lifestyle, spirits, music. We do a lot of work for labels, executives, for music acts at all levels. And, the journey there was an interesting one. I got my start, the first 10 years of my career working at a few of New York, cities, premier, marketing and PR agencies. I worked on everything from, Patron Tequila to Jägermeister, the Macallan, everything under the sun in the world of spirits. Music was always something that I wanted to do. It was always an industry I wanted to work in. You know, the idea of being able to kind of like help curate people's time when they're like out of work or like getting away from like, you know, the family or their time off, like that was something I've always found like really cool and rewarding. You know, the first 10 years of my career, I was moving up the ladder, you know, at a bunch of the agencies that I worked at. But it was very like not what I was meant to do. Over that time, I probably applied to about, you know, 400 labels, management companies. And, you know, didn't even get a, you know, an interview. And mind you, I was on the, you know, I was like a 29-year-old director at like a big New York City agency. So I was like, this doesn't really add up. And it was very frustrating. And I, during that time, I was working with a lot of, you know, labels doing like, I was the guy who got the brand partnership ideas. And I was like, they are not doing this right. They do not know how to talk to us. And there was a big hole of what I was seeing, what the music industry was doing wrong. So I just was like, screw it. I'm going to start my own agency that's going to work across spirits and music. And, you know, that happened in 2022. And since then, we were like, we're going to do PR and management. We found those things were very, very much hand in hand, and artists, I think, needed a fresh perspective on artist management and like holistic marketing media. You know, so that was kind of the journey. It's been a few years. We've worked on, you know, some really awesome projects, you know, working with music executives on their thought leadership, and then as well as building some of the, you know, some of the next big emerging artists.
Awesome. That's an interesting background. I mean, from spirits to a different kind of spirit, you know, with like music related, its finest, yeah, you know, it's about, yeah, connecting to that that greater source. So interesting. In terms of those two different backgrounds, would love to hear any unique insights that, you know, came from your experience with the, you know, the brand partnerships and what you did with the spirit companies. And what do you see as like the main value proposition for artists as it relates to building these types of brand partnerships?
Absolutely. There was, you know, being on, you know, working from everything from kind of startup spirits brands to their sale to like global brands like Patron, Campari, the Macallan. What I was finding was a complete disconnect in how people in the music industry operate with people who are outside of the music industry. What we would find, like a perfect example of this, like playing out, is these global brands, or brands honestly at most levels, plan out their year well in advance. You know, that's the first part. So timelines are a lot different than they are in the music industry. Secondly, there's a lot of key KPIs and criteria that, you know, brands need to check boxes off of when it comes to any marketing effort, any investment. These are, you know, a lot of these are big companies, and there's a lot of processes in place to, you know, make sure all the boxes are checked so that you can, you know, give money or do an investment in an influencer or an artist or an event. And also that it's a relationship, you know, business. When we work with partners, whether they're be chefs, whether they be musicians, like this isn't a transactional relationship. We have needs as well. And what I was finding is that a lot of these people in the music industry just had complete ignorance of how the relationship should be. And, you know, I would get when I was on, you know, Patron, we would get an email and it would be from someone at a big label doing their partnerships. Hey, we have an artist that, you know, they're doing a big music video and we would love to get you guys included. And, you know, I was like, okay, great. Like, tell us about, you know, what we get in return. And it would be like a 3-second, you know, or 10-second product placement. Okay. Let's say I go ahead and I think that makes sense for our brand, which wouldn't be the case because they don't even know what is important to us. They just come and go, here's what we're doing, get involved. So that's already immediately a red flag. Second, I go, okay, let's say I go, great, let's do it. When do you need it by? Next week, $10,000. There is no world where the people that you're going after that type of money have the flexibility to do that, unless you are checking all the boxes or, and it's like the greatest opportunity in the world. And that shows me that they don't know who they're talking to. They don't know how to talk to them. They don't know when to talk to them. And I was finding this across the board, all across various genres, various things. And I found that there was a big hole in how it should be done. And so that was a big precipice of issues that I was seeing with brand partnerships and the artist to company relation. Now, when you look at how big a role brand partnerships play, it's a huge revenue driver for artists. And I think it's pretty important to know how to be able to unlock that money and revenue for your artist.
Mm. Awesome. Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is that, one of the biggest things that you notice is just like fundamentally different structure and how the music industry and artists would, you know, come prepared to these types of partnerships. Often the timelines are significantly different, or like a week, you know, for like a brand placement, and also just not having clarity on the values, you know, of the company that you're partnering with and making sure that it is a good fit before, you know, you're asking for like a transaction of $10,000 or like a legitimate like product placement. Awesome. So how would you recommend that artists start thinking about this the right way? And let's say for the majority of folks who'll be listening or watching this, let's say that they're in an earlier stage of their music career, but they have started to build some initial momentum. They're an indie artist and say that they are in a phase where they have about 50,000 to 100,000 like email subscribers, and they're starting to, they've actually built some like real traction, but they've never explored doing like a brand partnership, and they want to start building relationships. They want to do it the right way. How do they start brainstorming who to reach out to and the best way to actually build those relationships?
I love that question, because there are a lot of things that artists at that level and who are maybe not there yet hear from people in the music industry. They hear, well, you're not big enough for a brand deal. That's simply not true. First of all, I have done partnerships with artists when I was on the brand side who had less than 5,000 followers, but they had a different value proposition. And that band was able to find a way. They were great from a touring perspective, which was very valuable to the brand that I was working on that at the time. And we gave them $15,000. So first of all, many, many artists are inclined to participate in brand partnerships than what traditional music industry people will tell you. It's because they don't know how to do it. And that's usually why they go, hey, it's going to take us to do work to get money for you. And they want to do the easiest thing possible. So first of all, you know, if you're at a place in your career, in that emerging stage, there are a lot of opportunities for brand partnerships. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. So I think that's the first thing, is clearing that. And, you know, the second part is, how you want to go about starting it is by first having a deep understanding of your brand proposition. I know artists a lot of times don't want to be like, think of themselves as a brand, but you're moving in a world where that's how people interpret things in the brand partnerships world. So I think having a deep understanding of what that brand proposition is and what your artist is all, what you as an artist is all about. I work with, an artist, King Coyote. I manage him and do all his brand partnerships. And his brand is very, very clear. We have a really good way of understanding it. It's, you know, the pines of Maine. It's gritty Northeast surf culture meets, you know, kind of the a classic Americana. It's, you know, whiskey in a dive bar. We have an idea. We can paint that picture for a brand. And that's a big part is step one, you having an understanding of that, your brand visibility in your socials and your music ties up to that, because that way it's very digestible for brands. So I think that's the first part. The second part is being able to create kind of like soft touch points with a brand. When you have a deep understanding of your brand, you can kind of create a hit list of what that looks like. For, you know, for King Coyote, for us, it was, he represented Maine on NBC's American Songwriter Contest. He's lived in Maine all his life. He's a proud, I think that they call him maniacs. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to lean into very, very Maine owned, operated brands or brands that are in that vein, Northeast, to own it and then expand from that. So, you know, we put together a hit list of like, you know, visit Portland, Portland, Maine, you know, LL Bean, you know, and, you know, many other brands that like fit in that lifestyle space, you know, brewery, big Allagash White is one of them. And, you know, so we have that hit list then. And then we go and we kind of find out what they are doing. They will tell you if you can make that warm connection and just be like, hey, I'm a big fan of this because of X, Y, and Z. Here's what we're about. We're fans of what we use your product. Let's say we're Allagash White. We drink that in the green room before. It, you know, reminds us of home when we're on the road. Creating that warm connection, you know, sharing that music, and then just kind of being like, what are you guys working on? How can we help you? Rather than like, give me money. Because you will, they will tell you everything. If you can get them on and, you know, maybe invite them out to a show, you can learn about what they want. You can learn, okay, priority is New Hampshire for Allagash White. They're expanding into New Hampshire. They're already nationwide, but still, if that's the case and you have a touring footprint there, you can create a package that you can sell to them that checks their boxes. And I talked about that earlier on. Is a lot of these marketers are like, we have X amount of impressions. We need to see X amount of sales lift here. We need to get into this many accounts. When you have that idea, you can sell them back something that gives them an easy yes. And it's something that they can, it's a clear ask. So to that point, it's understanding your brand, you know, deeply, being able to communicate that deeply. And then, you know, building a warm relationship and finding out what their needs are to then reverse engineer to, you know, partner with them on something.
Mm. Cool. Okay. So what I'm hearing you say is that you need to start by having clarity on what your brand is and who even might be a good fit based on that. And ideally you actually want to find products or brands that you already resonate with, that you're already, you know, connected with, so that when you reach out is from a standpoint of, we're a big fan of what you're doing, and you know, we want to understand what you have in the roadmap so that we can support it. And there's a hugely different vibe that comes out when instead of you asking for money, you're actually genuinely curious about what they're up to and how you can provide value to them. And then from there, if you establish sort of a warm relationship, you want to get clear on what do they need in terms of like what does success look like for them from a brand partner standpoint. And ideally, you want to get some clarity on specific metrics that they're looking for, what they need. And then you propose like a deal based on those particular metrics. Cool. Yeah, it's almost like you, I don't know, like know what you're talking about or you're like an expert in this. It's crazy. Would love to understand a little bit more from the side of those success metrics and like what an established brand you think is really looking for and how someone... Especially, you know, when you pointed out that, you know, it's possible for indie artists and people who are just establishing their brand, you know, who are getting started to start building some of these relationships. What are the main success KPIs that usually these brands are looking for, and how does an artist, you know, align themselves in a way that actually provides value to those brands?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say what I found to be most successful, and especially for like, you know, these indie artists and all that sort of stuff, you want a relationship that can scale. You want to relate and these brands, so that means you're going to look for brands that are in that position. So, you know, the music industry approach is take all the money that you can get right now because we don't know when the next money is coming. Mm-hmm. it's very short-sighted, and brands don't operate that way. Many people on the brand side don't operate that way, and it's a turnoff, and you're also going to lose more money in the long run. So as an indie artist, what's a relationship or a brand that we can grow alongside with? Thinking about, like, I'd rather be Prince for life than King for a day. So I think that's the first kind of, like, you know, mental framework that we want to be in. And then secondly, the big thing of, like, what they're looking for is it depends on the brand. With a smaller brand, I want to go and I'm going to use an example of spirits. And I want to go to this, to when I was working on Hudson Whiskey, and we partnered with this band who I did later in my life manage Hudson Whiskey. The Whiskey Treaty Roadshow. Apologies. So the brand I was on was Hudson Whiskey. You know, right now we were in a stage where, like, craft whiskey was about to start booming. We were in about, you know, 13 states at the time, very Northeast dominated. And, you know, we had a really great liquid that we wanted. Trial was our biggest metric. We wanted people to try the whiskey. We don't have the budget to hire a mega influencer to, you know, do a post about the whiskey. But what we needed was trial. Liquid to lips is what they call it in spirits. Hmm. So this band, the Whiskey Treaty Roadshow, were, you know, selling out rooms, you know, these 100 to 300 club person clubs from, like, New York to Maine, which were our key states. And they had a very similar audience as what our bet as a brand of who would like our stuff. Mm-hmm. And so what we did, you know, we were like, this is a great opportunity for us to put our product into people's hands, you know, at shows. And we also needed to sell into accounts. You know, bars are a big place of where, you know, you sell a lot of alcohol as opposed to the
No bar. Way.
Yeah. So what we did is we reached out to them. We go, hey, like, we know you guys are doing, you know, they reached out to us. They were like, we're big whiskey fans. We drink your stuff all the time. Great. They did all the right things. Then we came to them and we're like, well, here's our priorities. They came back to us and we're like, well, you know, we're doing show. We're about to do a tour, a 10-city tour. Would you guys, like, want to come on as our presenting sponsor? We'll do, like, meet and greets where you guys can, like, we'll have whiskey that we can, like, have people try. We'll shout you guys out. You guys can have a block of tickets that you can invite sales team to, that we can, you can sample at, and the venues will do a signature cocktail. So it's, everybody's kind of winning here. They have an understanding of our business. And, you know, it was a relationship that we had for many, many years with them. It was really very, you know, for an indie band at that time, you know, getting $15,000 to, you know, $20,000 a year is, that's like a big, that's a big help. And, you know, this is a band that, you know, their digital footprint was not big, but they knew how to talk. They knew what we wanted, and they were able to come to us, and we were able to collaborate on something that's going to be beneficial for both of us. So I think that's, like, a really great example of, like, how something can be brought to life. So identifying what your strengths are, like, in the spirits, in, like, drink, any beverage or, like, lifestyle, food, trial is very, very important for, you know, these startup brands, you know?
That's super helpful. I mean, there's a few takeaways to recap there. So first of all, what did you call it? Was it lips to liquid?
Liquid to lips.
Liquid to lips. I really like that. Yeah, yeah. It's like people using the product or listening to it. It's almost like, I don't know, noise to ears, sort of the equivalent, I think, for, like, artists. Is like, this is, like, the actual tangible, like, people interacting with the essence of what it is that you're offering. Liquid to lips, you know, noise to ears. Cool. One point that I really appreciate about what you just shared as well, I think is overlooked sometimes, is especially for an artist who's earlier on, who isn't, like, a household name and they're building, it feels like it's easy to undervalue the relationships that we build with other people or other brands that are also in a similar stage of their come up. You know, because you know, if you come up together, like them partnering with you at a similar stage and you investing in each other and that long-term relationship, kind of seeing this as like not necessarily what exists right now, but like how you build together, how you grow together over the long term. In order for a brand to make that type of partnership with you, they have to take that same leap of faith that like they're going to keep growing together with you alongside of you, and that you can, you know, kind of win together. So there's just something that kind of clicked for me there as you're sharing that, that a lot of times people want to like reach out to established brands or people that already are like, you know, have people recognize, when it's like, well, you can actually build a long-term relationship with someone that's in a similar stage of coming up, and that will set you up for a year, 3 years, 5, 10 years from now. So in terms of, I know you mentioned that, you know, Spirits is just one example. Not every artist is going to, you know, to partner with, you know, a different spirit. How would you recommend starting to create that quote unquote hit list that you described of like finding, the particular brands based on your music, that would most, you know, benefit from collaborating?
Yeah. So what we do at CatchBuzz with a lot of the artists that we, you know, help with their partnerships, we have kind of we like do a deep dive on like everything that this artist does, like in their daily life. And as well as like, you know, aspirationally. And so we, you know, we're asking, you know, as details about like, what airline do you travel? You know, what luggage do you use? Like what hair care products or wellness products do you use? Like, how do you, like, if you're big into fitness, like what kind, like, are you going to certain type of classes, or are you using any pre-workout, or, you know, or like any supplements? Cause we want to understand like a deep thing of what this artist is doing. You know, we want to, because that's going to give us help on the hit list. And, you know, maybe if some of those brands are, you know, further along, you know, maybe then we're looking for lookalike brands that are maybe, you know, very similar quality or same aesthetic that are, you know, that could be worth starting a relationship with.
Super smart. Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is that best way to start is just by like reflecting and getting clear on what brands and products and things do you already use on a daily basis. And then, you know, finding like a quote unquote lookalike, if it's a brand that, you know, isn't necessarily like a starter brand that you would connect with. But honestly, like, yeah, if you find the right brand that is like a more like a come up or startup like you, then that's a great relationship to form. So, yeah, you could also discover new products and things that you'd actually really benefit from as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so how about, let's say that someone has sort of this this list of ideal opportunities, and they're looking to kind of put rubber on the road and start the process of like building those relationships. You mentioned like reaching out and just saying, I'm a fan of what you're doing. What do you say is like the next step after, after you like establish that initial contact? Like, would you try to schedule a call with someone on their team? Who do you reach out to talk to? How do you usually explore those types of opportunities?
Yeah. So I think even kind of taking a step back is, having is that initial contact. So many artists, labels, managers, when I was on the brand side, would just like reach out to me and give me, it was either like very verbose with like a lack of any kind of clear, what am I looking at? What does this mean? So like contextualization of information lacking, or let's build. So you're emailing me, and now my job is to figure out what to do for you. And I think it's very important when you're reaching out is to have something like a one sheet that is like very digestible about like what we've talked about, like your, who you are, what you do, how you do it, and kind of like those unique points, like, you know, that could be like metrics, you know, ticket history, whatever it is that you're going to be guiding to that's more valuable for your brand or as an artist. So I think first is being able to like go to that person with like some sort of like clear ask, you know, huge fan of your thing. I'm going on the road, would love if you could, you know, I always love traveling with this. Would you guys be down to send me a, like, you know, a luggage thing? I'll post about it on social, you know, for free. So like maybe it's a product exchange. Or if you know, so I think like something like that, there needs to be a clear ask, because like otherwise, you know, a lot of these people, and typically they're the marketing managers, influencer managers, they get a lot of emails a day and they don't have time to like decipher what you're trying to do or like what you are.
Makes sense. Yeah. So one of the biggest mistakes to avoid is just lack of clarity when you're first reaching out. And you know, it's great to want to build relationships, but if you just reach out without a clear why or purpose or a clear like ask or an action, then it just makes it hard to digest and understand, like, you know, how can we actually work together? So summarizing down your statement, your reach out to a clear why you're reaching out, who are you, what do you do? And a clear ask is, you know, a really powerful way to get leverage. Okay. Any good example? So you mentioned one great example of an ask being like a product, you know, exchange, a product placement. Like, you know, can we feature you? Can we feature you on our socials? Or can, you know, if you have a product, would love to feature you. That seems like a good place to start. Any other examples of initial reach outs that you think are good asks that are kind of like they fit that sweet spot where, you know, they're not too big for an initial reach out, but they're focused on providing value as well?
Yeah, a big one that I think a lot of people, especially too, and like this makes a lot of sense when you're an emerging artist, but if there is a product or like something you are using in your everyday life, it could be a touch point to have a conversation when you're like throwing up an Instagram story or a TikTok where like that you're tagging them. If you're like, you know, those types of things, like an IG story, like if you're posting about that already and then to like tag them, like that's going directly to their social media manager or like influencer manager's like inbox because they get notifications. So if they see that this artist is keep thing, then, you know, it kind of starts that warm connection. They're like, oh, this person is a legitimate fan. It makes you maybe a little easier to cut through that inbox. Maybe you, they DM you when they see, because they, a lot of these influencer and social media managers are like checking out who's engaging with their you know, who are these people who are engaging with us? So I see that as like a really good, like warm intro way. And I think that that's something a lot of like artists can do at all levels if they want to form some relationships.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. So, basically making a point to make sure you're tagging, you know, those partners and that you're featuring them and, you're doing that as a way to initiate, you know, some of that warm connection, is a good strategy. And it reminds me of, with us, you know, we have a lot of partners that we have on the podcast that we do cross promotions with. And, you know, one of the most, like, the best reach outs that I've ever gotten was similar to what you're describing right now in terms of just like reaching out, like, hey, I've got an email list of, you know, 40,000, you know, independent musicians, and I think they'd find your stuff really valuable. Do you have like a referral program or a way that I can like send you traffic? It's like a really hard, like that's such a beautiful introduction for someone just like showing up and be like, I want to feature you. I want to provide value to you. So it seems like there's definitely, yeah, a correlation there, a lesson for artists, like doing what you're describing, like reaching out to those brands, basically asking like, can we feature you? Like, we really like your stuff.
Yeah.
And even just providing value up front without even asking for anything in return and just featuring them right out of the gate. Mm. Cool. So one important point that I'm sure a lot of people kind of get hung up at and would love to hear your recommendations for is the ask around an actual like sale or like the actual sponsored when the payment goes through. Like, I think a lot of times people, when it comes to someone paying them $10,000 or $15,000 for a placement, they don't know how to ask for that, or they don't know like how to design a good proposal or an offer. Could you share a little bit about best practices as it relates to, you talked earlier about, you know, defining those KPIs based on their goals, but how do you recommend that an artist starts thinking about that in terms of actually turning these into deals or opportunities where they're getting paid for these types of sponsorships?
That's a great question. I would say, you know, obviously it's a case by case basis. I think like the 101 of that is really clearly laying out the deliverables of what you're going to provide for them very clearly. Lay that all out up first. I always like, you know, when I'm talking with brands on behalf of my artists, I like to lay out kind of like, here's everything. Here's what a pared down version could look like. And here's what like another pared down version, like show people a menu. I think that is really important because also that takes the pressure off an artist to be like, am I charging too much? And then they're going to say no, or am I charging too less? And then I'm going to get, you know, fleeced. So what we always like to do is we get a full understanding where, you know, we built this relationship. We then go, okay, well, how are the things that we're doing can help them? So we, and then we go line by line. So what does that look like on social? What does that look like on live performance? What does that look like on, you know, maybe credits or video content or all that sort of stuff? And then we take that and then we put, you know, a big price to it or whatever the price is for like the all-in price, and then pare it down. So that way it takes a little, because I understand where artists come where they're like, I don't want to charge too much. And then they're like, these guys are jerks, you know, or like these guys are shaking me around. And then you don't want to do too little and then kind of be over, you know, servicing or losing money on it. So I think having like a menu of options is really great. It also saves a lot of back and forth as well. And at the end of the day, people outside of the music industry have a lot less patience on like the back and forth. They just are like, show me it is. I'm going to go here and no to this, yes to this, and I'll give you this.
Mm. Awesome. Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is, yeah, similar to the whole process, just having clarity on exactly what it is that you're offering, the deliverables is really helpful. And structuring it in terms of all-in package that sort of has the full gambit that you can anchor at like the highest price, and then have a few different breakdowns of it that are more simple, easier to start with, to create a menu so that you can meet people where they're at, but also that they have clarity and they know exactly what it is, so there's not as much back and forth and extra time that's kind of wasted figuring that out. Okay, awesome. Man, this is great. Yeah, I feel like you know, like for me personally too, this is a really helpful reminder of you know, we do a lot of partnerships at MR Musician and brand partnerships, and it's a big part of how we've built, you know, our organization and our company. And so it's refreshing to hear these as reminders. I know hopefully a lot of the artists who are listening to this right now, this will spark some ideas for them in terms of associations and partnerships and collaborations they can do. But I know I'm personally feeling inspired just from like, oh yeah, like there's some really cool partnerships I'm going to be building with Modern Musician as well. So thank you so much for being here on the podcast today. And, you know, for anyone that's listening or watching this right now that is interested in connecting with you and hearing more about the different packages that you do and offers that you have, where can they go to dive deeper?
Yeah, absolutely. Best place, obviously, like, you know, social media, Instagram, we're at CatchBuzzMGMT. Website, you know, the old-fashioned World Wide Web way, www.catchbuzz.co, not .com. We have, you know, and if it's something you're looking to explore, like we do office hours where, you know, folks can like book time with me. And, you know, basically like use it as a sounding board. So, you know, just, hey, what about this? What about this? What do you think about these types of partnerships or how to go about this? Or if it's artist development stuff or PR questions, like it's your time to just ask about anything. And so you can book those like directly on my website. And I, you know, that's something where I think it's kind of like informational, pick my brain essentially.
Hmm. Cool. Super valuable. Well, like always, we'll put the links in the show notes for easy access. And Joe, thanks again for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. This was awesome, man. I appreciate you.
Hey, this is Michael, and I just wanted to say thank you for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. I hope you found it really valuable. And if you did, if you want to share the word, we really appreciate you leaving a 5-star review on the podcast channel. If you want to learn more about the guest, you can check out the show notes for the links. And before you go, I wanted to remind you that I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and have helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit and who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for this free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application, share one of your songs. We look forward to checking out your music, and we'll see you in the next episode.